We have a couple prayer requests for this morning. Miss Manda asked us to pray for Tony Love. He is still on the ventilator. And then let's pray for the family of Lynn Patterson. She's a friend to some friends that live in Texas. Lynn went to her heavenly home, so let's pray for her family and friends.
Tony Love on the ventilator and Lynn Patterson.
Yes, and then praise report. My brother went through the procedure well. He should be coming out of his after procedure appointment. So everything went well with his eye procedure yesterday. So we're just believing in a supernatural healing and a supernatural recovery.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
And let's continue to pray. This just popped in my spirit. Let's continue to pray for Neva and Joe Pyatt.
Okay. Father, I thank you so much, Lord Jesus. I just want to bring to you right now Choi Love. He's on this ventilator right now, Father God. And I'm sure they told him he had a sickness, Father God. And I'm sure that it's hard for him to breathe. But right now we're believing in the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, to come and bring life into his body, to come and bring the breath of life into his lungs, Father, that this thing will no longer plague him out of your goodness, that he would get away from this ventilator, be able to breathe like he did when his youth. It says, remember the benefits of the Lord, that he heals all the diseases, Father. You heal all diseases, Lord Jesus. So I'm praying that he would be off of this, breathing well again. I'm praying for Lynn Patterson, Father, their family around Lynn Patterson, Father, that she passed away and went to a home, God, into a place of glory with a glorious body. No more tears, no more crying, no more pain, no more insecurity, Father. She's in the place of freedom to stand in liberty, Jesus, in your midst, in the midst of Jesus Christ, who helped her go through her whole life, embraced into the Father's arms. And I pray for the family, Lord God. I know how the devil works in death. But guess what? Christ has taken the keys to death and the grave. So I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that comfort would come on the whole family right now. The whole family. So that they would draw near to you, knowing that salvation is near, Father. That you hold the keys and you are full of loving kindness. It says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his loving kindness is everlasting. I thank you, Jesus, that you're so outside of our mindset. And we also pray for Neva and Joe. Lord Jesus, I know that these surgeries have been happening and fear and worry might try to creep in the door. But they know that they are children of the Most High God. God who gives strength to the legs. God who, even at his voice, thunder cracks. So how much more does he love them, Father? You're so focused on them, God. So I pray that you would shine your light out of heaven upon their whole situation. And that in the midst of calamity, in the midst of tribulation, Father, that they would be a light to the world around them. And that complete healing would come. And that energy would come to the body in Jesus' mighty name. And I want to pray for a family of someone who recently had OD'd. I pray for that family in the name of Jesus that they would draw near to God Almighty, knowing that he is the hope, that he is the salvation. I rebuke anything of the enemy that is trying to pull them away, that's trying to take them in the opposite direction, and that they would see clearly, and that his circumstance would echo around to the people around him, God, and bring people to the Lord, bring people to getting away from that addiction, because that's the enemy. But God came to give us life and life more abundantly. And I also pray for this child, who I'm not going to get too gruesome in. I just heard this yesterday. Both of her parents passed away of a terrible thing, and she's about 6, 7 years old, and she was left behind. Father, I pray that she gets into a family who is so filled with God's grace that her life changes dramatically, and her testimony would impact the lives of her generation to further the kingdom of God. And I pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus Christ by his power. Amen.
The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty Church, 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey will bless your shoes and socks off, y'all. Stay tuned. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for two estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. Guidelines establish the boundaries of your life. They don't determine where you go, but they do determine where you end up. They help you slow down when everything else says speed up. They help you think before you say. There are no shortcuts to real success. Guidelines help to navigate you from where you are to where you want to be. Boundaries don't limit you, they protect you.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
We're back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power. Our guest this morning is Nicholas Medina. His title, No More Pressure.
No More Pressure. Okay, and I'm rolling back in. Praise God.
I want to add something to what you were talking about. You're really speaking to my spirit this morning. And as you're speaking, the Lord brought to my remembrance, God is love. Mm-hmm. He loves, yes, for God so loved the world, okay? He gave his only son, okay? God is love. He loves, but he doesn't just love. He is love. And it says that in the Bible at least four times that God is love. 1 John 4:8. 1 John 4:16-19, Deuteronomy 10:12-13, Psalms 136:26. There's some scriptures. You can fact check that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, praise God.
Back to you, baby.
Okay.
Oh, and I do want to let you know, you are new here, and we just so love you.
Thank you so much.
Such a breath of fresh air, baby.
Praise God. We love
and
God.
Jim Baker.
My grandpappy.
Okay, he said, way to go, my son, Nathaniel the Net. And then Rain, I don't want to botch her last name.
Delicetto.
Yes, okay. I'm sorry, Rain.
That's my mother.
Okay.
My mom is my biggest supporter.
Good job, Mom. Hallelujah. Good job, Mom. Your mom says, my son, I'm so very proud of you, sharing God's love, God's grace. God is so good.
Right. Let's not cry. okay.
Thank y'all for sharing him with us. We love him.
So now I'm going to roll back in. Thanks, Mom. Appreciate that. I'm going to roll back in. What I was talking about, Adam, his shame came in because his belief that his sin separated him from God, not his sin, because Jesus came looking for him. Where are you? We know God already knew that had happened. He could have said, Adam, he could have had them leave already. But what did he do? He came, walked in, and said, Adam, where are you? Looking for him. That should show you a picture from the beginning of time. Even if sin comes, tries to attach itself, God still pursues us. Mm-hmm. And what he do? He sent his son, just like she said, to die. God so loved the world. Everybody loves John 3:16. But let's remind our pastors this. I love y'all pastors. Let's remind our pastors this. We have been beaten enough, okay? Christ took our beating, so we don't need to be beat when we sit inside of the pool, when y'all are in the pulpit. I just want grace, okay? Goodness of God leads to repentance. I don't need to be beat. Christ took the lashing from me. What I'm saying is, for God so loved the world, right? Mm-hmm. If he loved the world, we need to. It says, don't love the world, but it's talking about the culture and the enemy's movement. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall what? Believe. Come on. Shall not perish but have eternal life. Believe. Why are you putting so much things? You're giving me a whole bag of pressure that's pulling me back when God just asked me to believe. Stop putting so much pressure on people. You bring them into church and then you're like, hey, which God, okay, all right. You don't want to give them a baggage. Just let them know the goodness of God and let the Holy Spirit do its work, yes. Okay? Go ahead, Monica. And then I'm going to roll into some deeper stuff.
When you were saying that, I had an image of going into an airport.
Mm-hmm.
And you drop your luggage off and it rolls away.
Yep.
I'm not coming to pick up more luggage.
No. I'm here to drop it off and get refreshed.
Come on.
How much more refreshing did it take a weight off, right? Christ, let's say this right here. As we're in pressure, right? Christ was crushed for our iniquities. And I went back and looked because some translations don't say crushed, but the Hebrew root word is crushed. Crushed like a grape at the wine press, right? Pressure has to be applied to a grape for it to squeeze and squeeze and squeeze and squeeze. Christ took our pressure. Why am I taking pressure anymore? He came for our salvation. Mm-hmm. Why are we allowing this upon us? And if y'all want to go deeper, y'all want to go a little deeper?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let's go deeper. Look at this right here. Let's talk about spiritual warfare. This is going to not really settle with people, but I want y'all to have an open heart. And I want you to pray about this. I want you to pray about it, and I want you to go to Scripture, and I want you to look for yourself. So we have, and now I'm going to look in my pictures for this. We have two scriptures on spiritual warfare, right? What is causing us to war, right? And what does war take? It takes effort. And a lot of the times, people will put that effort upon themselves. And I do not believe, I 100% do not believe that pressure is for us and that effort is for us. There we are. Okay, so we go to this. What? Finally, this is Ephesians 6:10. This is warfare, right? Finally, be strong in the Lord. And you say warfare, people get excited. But I'm about to whoop on you, okay, Monica? Finally, be strong in the Lord, right? This is the beginning of our warfare. Finally, be strong in the Lord, right? You're like, how can I be strong? And in the strength of his might. The Lord, his strength, his might. This is all, there's nothing on us, right? Finally, be strong in. So our job here in that one sentence is to be in him. It's his strength, it's his might, it's all him, right? Put on the full armor. Pause right there. Click. That's your responsibility. Unclick, we'll keep moving. Mm-hmm. Of God. It's not your armor. So that you will be able to stand firm. Click, that's the responsibility, but it's given by the armor. Against the schemes of the devil. So you had two responsibilities in there. One, it was done for you. The other one, put on the full armor of God. That's your responsibility. And it says by doing that, you'll be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. For our struggle, now here's where the devil highlights. He loves to bring highlights to his power. Watch. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, powers, the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Everybody knows that because the devil highlights that. He wants you to know how much he has. But before that, it just told us that if you put on the full armor of God with his strength, his might, his armor, you'll be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. And then it tells us this little list of his schemes and his authorities. Right? Therefore, take up, click, there's your second responsibility, the full armor of God so that you'll be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything, stand firm. Right? Stand firm, therefore, having girded, there's a responsibility. This is now your third. Put on the full armor, take up, stand firm. Well, stand firm, you only can stand firm in his army, so or his armor. Girded your loins with the truth. Who's the truth? Christ. The way, the truth, and the light. And the truth is he died for every single one of us so we could live righteously. Every power and principality has been put under his feet, and we also sit at the right hand of the Father. That's the truth. Having put on, there's our fourth, the breastplate of righteousness. We talked about this during break. Your heart is where the devil tries to take. As a man believeth in his heart, so is he. When you believe in your heart, that results in righteousness. And when you confess with your mouth, results in salvation. So we're putting on God's righteousness. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. And having shod, there's your fifth responsibility, your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I love how peace is in the middle of this war, right? Mm-hmm. In addition to all, taking up, there's your sixth, the shield of faith by which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. What faith? Faith has been given to man. A measure of faith has been given to all men by God. And take the helmet of salvation. We're saved no matter what my thoughts tell me. That's why it's a helmet. And the sword of the Spirit. Oh, there's our weapon. Mm-hmm. Right? It's the Spirit. Let him do the warring. Right? Which is the Word of God. All we have to do is have a knowledge of our Word of God. Get into our Word of God. And it will remind us of our salvation, of our faith, of our righteousness, of the truth, and of the gospel of peace. Praise God. With all prayer and petition. Because God ain't going to leave it at six, right? He won't be leaving it at six. Which is the Word of God. With all preparation and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. Seven. That's our things right there. Praying at all times in the Spirit. And then you can say, be alert. So you can say, be alert. But praying, put on the full armor of God. That's it. Which is, oh, I love this. God is good. It is seven. Taking up. It's not mine. Oh, wait, it is mine because it's God's. I'm girding, putting on, shodding, taking up, take, and then pray at all times. My responsibilities in this warfare is to do nothing but to put on God. Mm-hmm. Nothing. And to stand firm. I'm standing firm. Why? Because I'm in victory. Because this is the land that God has won for me. All the pressure that people try to put on you. You got to war. You got to be fasting for days until you're literally dying. You got to be reading your word. You got to be doing this. All those things should come out of hunger, not pressure. Mm-hmm. God wants you to love it, but his goodness will bring you to that word. The enemy wants to put pressure on you. Here's pressure, Nicholas. You have to be doing these things enough to win. I'm here to tell you Christ is victorious. Mm-hmm. We are more than conquerors. Why are we more than conquerors? Because the battleground has already been conquered. So I'm on. I'm not here to fight the enemy. By knowing the truth, by knowing the righteousness of God, by knowing the peace, by having faith that he gave me, by the salvation that he paid for, by his Spirit which he put in me, just by believing, I have already won. The pressure is now off of me. Okay, let's move even further. While I press this in, I know we're short on time. What is this for? What's the other one that we all know? It's
2 Corinthians.
How does it start again?
It's the one that talks about it not being
for the weapons of our warfare,
yes,
and not carnal.
Yes, 2 Corinthians.
Let's
10.
Go to that. Let's get excited.
2 Corinthians 10.
Aren't y'all excited that mm-hmm. no pressure is on y'all
it's one
anymore?
Of my favorites.
Let's read 2 Corinthians
4.
10. 10:4. For the weapons of our warfare, right? Okay, we're like, oh, we're in a battle. Are not carnal, which they're not physical. You can't grab a hold of, right? But mighty in who? God. The weapons we have to fight are not our weapons. They're in God. his. He has won the battle. He does the fighting for us. For pulling down strongholds. What are these strongholds in our life? Addictions, bondages, things that try to hold us. Shame. Ooh, let's hit it. Sin consciousness. Wrong mindsets. And what do we have? The helmet of salvation. Because we say, hey, no matter what you say up here, buddy, I'm saved by God Almighty. Adam said, hey, I can't be saved because I just did wrong. And God still said, where are you? Mm-hmm. And still provided provision for him after that. Because we wouldn't be here. He could have eliminated him knowing what was to come. But he knew he could get everyone by sending his son. So let's continue to move on. For pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What is the knowledge of God? That we are saved, that we are overcomers, that we are righteous in God. Because Christ wouldn't have, God wouldn't have sent Christ, who is God, to the cross to die for us to be made righteous. If we live thinking that we are sinners. Oh, I love this. Ready? And then here's what people think. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Right? I am going to take a step back with me and look at this. Because we think every thought comes in. We're like, no, you go to Christ. No, you go to Christ. No, you go to Christ. You will be restless. You will get distressed. You will be overwhelmed and feel wrecked. Because the pressure of all the bad thoughts that come in every single day. Oh, go to God. Go to God. Go to God, go to God. Then you're what? Wrestling in your mind. Mm. Then you're wrestling in your mind. And people say the mind is the battlefield. And I love that saying. Who doesn't love Joyce Myers? You know what I mean? But I'm here to tell you, why do we have to wrestle when we have the helmet of salvation? I'm saying to the obedience of who? Christ. Let Christ do the sifting through your thoughts. Don't even acknowledge and entertain those thoughts. They come in, those are not mine. They do not belong to me. Why? Because I'm saved and I have the mind of Christ. His mind is in our mind now. There's no pressure now for us to fight off our thoughts. Christ was what? Had the crown of thorns piercing his scalp. That's every piercing thought that tries to get in and infiltrate. But he took it for you, Monica. He took it for you, Tina. He took the pressure for you. Stop wrestling in your mind. Stop doing it. Let Christ take these things into obedience. All you have to say is what? I am saved. Mm-hmm. You live like you're saved. Then what? Back to pressure. Sin can't associate itself with you. What did Isaiah 59 say? My sins testify against us. Because they're pointing fingers saying we're wrong. We're not wrong. The sin is. Mm-hmm. Let Christ have rule. What it said, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts and minds. Or peace of God rule in your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now, keep that in mind. Keep that in consideration. We're going to roll back to this big one. Everyone knows this. B, what happens with pressure? Is it the circumstances that make you fall apart? Or is it the anxiety that is associated with the pressure? Mm.
It's
our anxiety that hits and then the response, right? Anxiety is what makes you hot flash. Say you got a hard time at work. You need people to work. There's too much work. It's not the lack of people that is making you stress. It is the anxiety of not getting it done that's making you stress. The pressure on you. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Why? Because there's no pressure on you. How could God tell you be anxious for nothing when you owe $1,000 to your mortgage? How can he tell you be anxious for nothing when they just told you you have cancer? Because the pressure is not on you anymore to fight your battles. It's all Christ. You're hidden in Jesus. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Somebody died? Don't be anxious about it. You got bills coming up and you can't pay it? Don't be anxious about it. Well, Nick, you're telling me don't be anxious at all. I can't do anything. I'm saying don't be anxious. Rest in what God's going to do for you, and he's going to open a door. Why? Well, you got to respond to the call of God. I guarantee God will get you off your feet and open a door for you. I guarantee it'll pour into you. I guarantee you. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything through what? Prayer. Taking it to him. Supplication. And people say petition is begging. I don't agree with that. I agree with supplication, where it says you're bringing an urgent request to God, and that's in the Hebrew. Go back and look the root words in the Hebrew. You're bringing an urgent request of God in need. You're not begging. I'm telling you, you don't have to beg your father. You do not have to beg your dad. He will bless you if you believe he is for you. Mm-hmm. Okay, be anxious for nothing, but everything through prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. Be thankful because God's going to handle it, baby. Let your requests be made known to God. And then what comes when you disassociate with anxiety and pressure? Then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Your salvation and your righteousness. Let him do the work. Let him take the pressure. Stop pressuring yourself. Stop letting anxiety have a place in your life. Pressure is gone now. You live free. And what? Sin conscious is gone now. You live free. Because if we're so sin conscious, every time we sin, we're going to have to ask God for forgiveness, 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 forgiveness. I'm here to tell you, God forgave you. At the cross, it was paid for. You're saying, God, forgive me for what? We know he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, right? Once and for all. Everybody forgets that part. Once and for all, right? We're saying, God, forgive me because we know it doesn't please him. We're not saying it to be forgiven. We are the forgiven, and we can walk that out. Don't let sin come in your daily life and associate with you because God has separated you from this. This is radical. Keep this in mind, right? Now, I'm going to go fast because I know you're about to cut me off. But as you don't associate with these things, you have separated the person from their sin. I'm going to say this because it's on my heart very dearly. Pastors, evangelists, churches, please listen to me. Pray about this. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal this grace to you. If someone comes in homosexual, do not address the homosexuality. Love them. Mm-hmm. Don't say nothing. We all know come as you are. But why are you packaging things on them? If someone comes to you addicted to methamphetamines or a pornography addict or a prostitute or a Satanist or anything that you would see wrong, stop associating with that sin. Jesus never walked up to the Samaritan woman and said, well, you're a Samaritan. He never walked up to the prostitute who got caught in adultery and said, you're a prostitute. What did he do? He literally said, let the first one of you who doesn't have a sin throw the first stone. And who did? No one. Because he didn't associate with her sin. Stop bringing people in, attaching them to their homosexuality, because the goodness of God leads to repentance. Stop trying to judge the sin, because when you do, it's hindering the healing process of the Holy Spirit. Let people come to God freely, no matter what you think about their life. Stop letting their sin and what you think, oh, they're not living right. They're not living right. Well, I see he's a homosexual. He's doing this. He's doing that. Or I see she is. Or I see that he's a Satanist. He's wearing pentagrams. Stop letting that outward sin, who is not those people. They're the same people as you and in the same need as you. There's something attached to them. Stop addressing the sin. Completely forget about it. And what does the devil tell you? Well, you're condoning. You're saying it's okay to be that way. No, I'm not. I'm saying it's not your job to clean the fish. Catch it. What I'm saying is let the Holy Spirit have his way. The goodness of what? The pastor? The goodness of the church? The goodness of God will lead you to a life change. Bring these people in without judging them. You want to keep smoking dope? You want to keep doing these things? Who cares? Who cares? Stop. You don't even have to have a life change to come to God. Just come to him and let him do the work. Mm-hmm. Stop expecting people to come in, pray one time, and be completely holy. And they're outward. Because I'm here to tell you, once they believe, they're holy and they're inward. They're just cleaning. The Holy Spirit is cleaning out. Mm-hmm. Let them accept them and love them. And then watch what God does to them. He will work things out in their life. Stop letting your sin, judgment, stop the healing process of God. There is no pressure on anyone anymore, believers or unbelievers. You can come to Jesus just how you are. You're gay, come to God. Who cares? He will begin to work things in your life. Let him heal you. He'll show you the root of your problems. Mm-hmm. And then he'll pluck them out and he'll plant something new in your heart. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. Sin is no longer associated with us. Sin cannot separate us from God. God has separated us from our sin. Wrong belief separates us from God. Mm-hmm. Do not believe God is against you. Do not believe God sees your sins. You need to step into the full abundant grace of God and live out his holiness, and he will change you. And this is the last thing I'm going to say. What did I read last time? If by one man's offense, death reigned through all, by one man's obedience, can we receive? You don't got to work to receive. Receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness so that you may reign in life through Christ Jesus. Your righteousness is a gift. If you're in your sin, proclaim, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. If you've masturbated 1,000 times and in your masturbation you say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ, keep saying it and watch the devil have to leave because you've brought God into your darkest place. And dark cannot stand around light. There's no more pressure on anybody. I hope somebody grabs a hold of this today. Believers, stop putting pressure on yourself. Anxiety's not yours. Peace is yours. Let it be yours. Believe it is yours. Let God fight the battle for you. Just like David said to Goliath, who are you, you uncircumcised Philistine? The battle is the Lord's. Stop picking up the guns anymore. It's God's armor. It's God's weapons. There's no more pressure on y'all. Y'all can live freely. Stand fast in the liberty Christ paid for you to live in. Don't be bound again to the yoke of bondage. And you can go read that in Galatians. Keep it. You're free.
Amen. I want to share something that I shared at Bible study last night. So last Thursday on Thanksgiving, my daughter would have turned 30 years old. And I spent that day, I had to work, and God is so cool. And I just kept myself in a thankful and grateful mindset. You know, just thanking God for the time and the gift and just, you know, reminiscing the good stuff. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I went outside to sit down and smoke a cigarette. And,
oh, no.
and I'm sitting there. No, wait, this was Saturday. Mm-hmm. I got called in Saturday. But I spent all day Thursday thankful, you know. And Saturday I got called in. I went in. And I was just spending time with the Lord, you know. And I actually told the Lord, I said, I'm going to quit. I'm not digging it.
Yeah. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Forgive me, Father. I'm not digging it. I'm really not digging having to deal with these people. Mm-hmm. I'm not like that no more. Thank you, God. And I was sitting out. I went outside after talking to the Lord, and I sat down. And I looked up, and in the clouds, there was the image of Jesus from head to foot. One hand, he was holding a V. And in the other hand, he had a knife. And he said, the victory is mine.
Come on.
I have circumcised you. To me. Where are you going?
Right.
Nowhere, Lord. I'm sorry. I'm not going nowhere.
Yeah. And you can't be let go now. You're in grace.
And you know, I started buying these bracelets and setting them out there. And I don't know, maybe a year ago, if that I started buying the bracelets, I don't know for sure. But already, somewhere in Canada, people have come in there. And I have a basket, like a bread basket. Mm-hmm. And there's a sign that says, free reminder. God loves you. Mm-hmm. Jesus loves you. Mm-hmm. We love you. Mm-hmm. And they, people, even with the sign there saying free reminder, some people ask, well, how much are the bracelets?
Because you can't receive.
I said, baby, they're free. They are free. You take as many as you want. Those bracelets are there as a reminder that you are loved.
That's the human mindset. They got to give to receive.
And there's nothing you did to deserve that love. There's nothing you can do to stop his love. Because in order for God to stop loving you, God is love. And in order for God to stop loving any human being on this earth, he would have to stop being God. And I just don't see that happening. He is not going to stop being who he is.
We're so caught in purging people that we forget about bringing people to God. We're literally beating them with a stick before they can be healed. Mm-hmm. They're already broken.
Yeah, we can't expect the world to understand the things of God.
No.
Because they're not in the Word. That's our job.
Right.
To take the gospel to the ends of the earth.
It says we're in the business to reconcile people to God.
And you know, Jim Baker. No, we're going to wrap up. Jim Baker says, God tells us to feed the sheep, not beat the sheep. You know,
why do I go into church and get beat up?
Yeah.
I do that enough myself.
Let's go meet them at the door, pick them up, and carry them.
And what did he go to the lost sheep? What did the lost sheep have to do? And he picked them up. Yeah. You have to do nothing. Let God pick you up and bring you back to the flock. And I'm going to say this before we close. I know I speak a lot. But if you start to put this grace, abundant grace lifestyle into place, it's going to start to come heavy against you. The enemy's going to start hitting you.
Yeah.
But now what? Sin has no dominion over you. If you mess up, it's not you. Boop, it's out of here. You're forgiven. Put into play, I'm the righteousness of God. And now you can live this out. And now you're free at last. Who the Son says free is free indeed. I'm not bound again by the yoke of bondage. And if you go back and read that, it was talking about Mount Sinai and the law and the new covenant. We're not under the law, people. Mm-mm. We have no pressure of if we mess up, we continue to move. We're not condoning sin. His goodness is going to transform us. Stop purging. Start accepting and loving. Let God do that work, people.
Let the Holy Spirit do his job.
Like, people will give you 99% grace, and then they'll drop in 1% law, and you're like, oh, I was feeling good, but now I got to leave condemned. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ.
Right.
Come on, people. Praise God for his goodness, for separating us from our sins. Praise God.
Amen. We appreciate you coming and sharing. Yeah. It has been a breath of fresh air. This has been an exciting morning.
Praise the Lord.
It's really interesting. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power, and I'm going to say it again. This is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Tina Dobbs, from Monica Lovell, and Nicholas Medina. Y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.